Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
All right, buckle up for the third episode of Ghostfacers, a Supernatural Rewatch podcast. Things get wet.
Yeah, three episodes in, you're already distracted by how wet this episode is.
and ghost, child ghosty. Yeah. Very separate from the wet piece, but still important.
Yeah. Weird way to set it up.
I need to go. Welcome to Ghostfacers, a Supernatural Rewatch podcast. My name is Richard, and nope, that's not how we do this show. Welcome to Ghostfacers. Today we're talking about episode number 3, Dead in the Water. Aired September 27th, 2005. This episode was written by Sarah Gamble and Rael Tucker. Nice. This is the first Sarah Gamble episode, which is a big deal in this if you're sort of aware of the Supernatural world. She took over actually as showrunner for season 6 and 7. Those are the Sarah Gamble seasons, and has written some of the best sort of episodes. I'm a big, big fan of what she does, so I was excited to see her. I don't know about much about Rael Tucker, but I was excited to see Sarah pop up on this one.
Yeah,
she has. She's done some really cool, like Supernatural interviews on her Instagram lately too. Right. She does these sort of writer on writer discussions that are cool. And this episode was directed by Kim Manners and was viewed by an estimated 5.01 million viewers.
Right.
So, Dead in the Water, TV Guide, as we always do, we go to the description, which says, the brothers hunt for a lake-dwelling spirit that killed the father of a young boy who sees visions connected to the creature and communicates by drawing pictures.
Yeah.
We're talking about this is a water episode. This is the wettest episode we've gotten yet.
Oh my god! Yeah, strap in.
Yeah, Jensen with his shirt off every single frame.
I thought because you know this is the first season.
Yeah,
and because we're sort of getting introductions to some of these monsters. I thought that today when we go over to Dad's journal,
yeah,
we would do something pretty broad, which is ghosts.
Oh.
Very, very generally. Quote unquote monster wise, that's what we're dealing with here. But the episode like sort of touches on a bunch of different potential things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Well, before we do that, first of all, the featured music for this episode.
Oh yeah,
I always like this. We're still dealing with if you're watching on a streaming platform, you're not getting these songs, and
that's right.
I'm still waiting for my for the right. I still haven't figured out what DVD collection I'm gonna get yet. Because part of me is like, do I wait for the full thing? And but that means I'm waiting a year potentially or even longer to be able to get the full sort of full set. Or do I order just the individual DVDs?
My wife this close today to getting me 5 seasons of Supernatural when we were out shopping.
Where Where were they in town?
At Wally.
Really?
At Walmart.
I went there and they only had season 13.
They had the box set for season 6 to 10.
Oh, there. Yeah.
That's sort of why I told you not to. Yeah, I was if you see 1 to 5.
Yeah, get it. Get it. 1 to 5, get it. But yes, the featured music for this episode, one, we get Rat. Which I love, Round and Round. Oh, I'm so sad that I didn't get to hear that. I'm looking forward to finally hearing that for the first time.
Yeah.
Black Toast Music, which I'm not sure who that is.
I'm not sure about that one.
The song is What a Way to Go.
Ooh.
Billy Squire, Two Days Gone, and Bad Company, Moving On.
Of course.
Some classic ones in this one, for sure.
Yeah, Bad Company is like straight out of Dean's cassettes of music.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. But yeah, maybe before we get into our thoughts on today's episode, let's open up Dad's Journal and learn some of the real world lore about today's monster.
Yeah, we're talking about ghosts, which is such a broad catch-all, because there's like sub-classes of ghosts. Goats of ghosts and stuff like that.
This one's, I'll say that like this version of ghost is probably like the pitch for this is probably one of the scariest ones for me. This is one of the scariest episodes,
yeah,
because it's dealing with deep water and that scares me.
Well, yes, absolutely. That's the old thalassophobia.
Yes, yeah. I mean, both thalassophobia. Really, what scares me is large objects inside of the water.
Right.
But still,
so you can't come swimming with me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I think that like the way that they do, and we'll get into it when we get into the episode, but the way that they sort of shoot this one is super interesting. Their sort of use of water and like how they make it scary is really, really cool.
Totally.
But I mean, ghosts in the water, I didn't even think that was a thing. And now,
well, it's funny because water spirits and vengeful ghosts are almost two entirely separate things. If you're looking at like quote unquote real world, like lore.
Yeah.
So, just very like quickly, ghost lore is literally in every single culture, all the way back
to
the beginning of time. It's usually because it has something to do with, you know, separating the idea of a physical body from your spirit or things like that. So,
God, I lose so much weight.
The word itself, though, the word ghost, a couple of potential origins for the word comes from like a Proto-Indo-European word that means fury or anger, or a Norse word that means to rage.
Oh, so the word, partying, the party
word,
ghost.
Yeah, that, well, and that's, as you know, Norse that love to rage.
Yeah.
What a rager. So the idea of a ghost in general is something that is agitated. And especially when you look at the fact that ghosts are meant to be like spirits left behind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's usually because they died violently or unexpectedly, or their funeral rites were incomplete or like non-existent. So it's about like this is some that your soul or your spirit has not been put to rest. Your body has died, but you're not done. You might have unfinished business, or you might not be ready to move on, or whatever the case is.
What if you're in your last, like, well, you wanted your like shoes to be placed in a specific place, that way your like soul can be like put to rest.
Yeah. Or a very particular kind of fish.
Yeah. Yeah.
You tuck that into a bed so your soul is put to rest.
My funeral is going to be so much fun.
It's funny because in some cultures, vengeful ghosts, which is sort of what we're dealing with in this episode,
totally,
are almost all women. It's almost as if the cultures take it as a given that women were treated poorly.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, yes. But also, like, is that like weirdly self-aware for the culture? They didn't do anything about it, but so there's almost every culture on earth has afterlife beliefs that involve laying a spirit to rest after death, and like I said, sometimes that doesn't work if they died violently or something like that.
Is that like gin or rum kind of spirits?
Yeah. God, you're on fire today.
I know, I'm in a mood. I don't know.
So synonyms and subcategories of ghosts, which we will also get to later in this podcast as we go through, include poltergeists, shades, specters, wraiths, phantoms, etc. There's a couple of specific ones, specific to different cultures that are interesting. Mogwai is in Chinese folklore, is a vengeful ghost or a demon.
You can't get wet.
That, and yeah, don't feed them after midnight.
Yep.
The Onryo is a Japanese one. It's a spirit that returns from purgatory to right a wrong.
I like to dunk those in milk.
Good lord. Wow. Woman in White. We talked about those ones. It's a very specific sort of visual aesthetic and a pretty specific story. Usually that like La Harona kind of story.
Yeah.
There's a Dybbuk in Jewish folklore, which is like a possessing spirit, and one called a Keres, which from ancient Greece, it was spirits born of violent or cruel death. Now the weird thing here is we're talking about a vengeful spirit that is tied to a lake in this episode, but for the most part, water spirits in real world folklore are more tied to like fey folk, fairies, nymphs, things like that. Things that could potentially pose a threat, but are generally a little bit more ethereal, a little bit more like they're water elementals.
Yeah.
Water spirits tend to be a little bit more like guardians or protectors in real world lore,
yep,
as opposed to being like a vengeful spirit locked in a lake. So it's sort of interesting that like our first foray into like water ghosts is so counter to what the real world lore of a water spirit is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it's not going for the same thing. Like, this isn't a murderous water nymph in this episode, but it did strike me as funny that like the haunted lake is where they go with the water spirit as opposed to more kind of fairy stories.
Yeah. They do talk a bit about the Loch Ness Monster in this.
Yeah.
But
it's one of only a couple of times I think that the Loch Ness Monster comes up in the show at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not something that they address because I don't think it's like, if it does exist, I don't think it's a monster.
I think it does exist in the world of Supernatural. I'm pretty sure there's an episode where someone makes an offhand comment about how it is real. But it's also presumably in Loch Ness because the guys are in the States. They're not going to run into it.
Maybe in a
landlocked inland lake in the States.
Maybe if that comes up again, maybe on the like millionth episode about ghosts, we can address the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, exactly. But basically what we're dealing with is this sort of very general idea of a ghost with a violent death. Who cannot, the spirit cannot move on, and it's out for revenge, but it happens to be tied to this lake.
Wow. All right. Very interesting. Before we get into today's episode, let's talk about a couple behind the scenes factoids before we jump into it. Number one, I don't know how, but Jared Padalecki's hand was partially broken while filming the part of this episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did they like leave the shot in? Is it like the Aragorn kicking the helmet thing?
Like or Mission Impossible when he does the jump?
Yeah. Did it make it into the episode?
I don't think it was not during the episode. It was sort of
just concurrently in his own life.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
shoot.
Though the next one, there is a moment like that we'll address when we get there. And also fun piece of information. This is the same lake scene appeared in another Jensen Ackles movie, Devour, from 2005.
Ooh.
So they use a very similar lake scene. So
very nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, without further ado, let's jump in to today's episode.
That's right.
Of course, we always start with, for this first season, you got to, every single episode, you got to hammer home exactly what the show's premise is.
I was trying to remember when the show transitioned to the then now sort of version.
That's something we'll have
to
note.
Right now, it's almost like at the start of each episode is a trailer for the show because it has so much explanation. It's like really trying to get people on board with the show.
Well, exactly. And it's not, I mean, you can't stream them, so nobody knows necessarily what the show is about. And still, the internet is not what it becomes. And so, not necessarily everybody's like on Google looking up these shows before they start watching them, right?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So it's interesting that they
sort of. Yeah, not like now where we can't enjoy anything organically. We got
check Twitter before a new show starts. Absolutely. So all right, so as this episode starts, we're gonna start with this sort of opening scene in Lake Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
That's right. It's a family at home. It's a dad and his two kids who are about sort of looks like high school, maybe just should be in college age. The daughter is about to go like out for a workout, and the like her brother is
her dirtbag brother. Yeah,
her dirtbag brother is like, guys don't like buff chicks, and she says something like, girls don't like guys that live at home. and so she goes out to the lake to go go swim. This is so like on brand for especially these like early season CW things. It's like, beautiful woman, dive into a lake. Come on in, enjoy our show.
Well, what's funny is that this is this opening scene is actually exactly like the one from 1975's movie Jaws.
Oh, is that what it's riffing on?
Yeah, it's like,
well, yeah, this, I mean, with the shot underneath and stuff like that.
They literally shot for shot copied it. So.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it definitely works because there's like a tension, and also they've done something to the color grading.
Well, it's a thing that, like, this whole first season does, really.
There's not necessarily digital color grading back then.
Well, this was film, so this was shot on film, too. So,
but the water looks black. You know, like, the saturation has been sort of seeped out, so even the trees, though green, are kind of grayish. Like, everything about this sort of looks inky and scary, and you can't see down into the lake to see what grabs the daughter and pulls her under.
Big inspiration for that was actually based on like Japanese horror filmmaking.
That makes sense.
And so even with sort of the way that they do the lake was inspired totally by that sort of genre. But yeah, the daughter slash sister gets pulled under.
That's right.
And now we get to go to a diner, a classic Supernatural diner. Yep. You can check that if you have your bingo sheet for Supernatural.
Yeah, that's right. Our sort of greasy spoon hunting food, basically. Yeah, we're getting Dean. He's looking for cases, basically.
You're getting a classic Dean meme coming up at 3 minutes and 4 seconds. That scene right there, that shot is a classic GIF if you're looking for Dean.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Him with his like mouth open, drooling over this waitress.
With the pen in his mouth and the smile. That's a classic Dean meme.
I do like this version of Dean too. You know, like, we're allowed fun once in a while. That's fun.
Yeah, pointing at the waitress. This show does a really interesting, especially this first season, where it's like just on the cusp of being
being just straight up misogynist.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a thing that they really toe the line, like very carefully sort of walking that tightrope with this show, where it's like, well, they're not saying anything bad. They're just kind of being like,
I'll say, I think it's something that lends a bit of authenticity to
the genre, I think.
Well, and to the show, which is that, like, listen, they're not going to be straight up dirtbags, but Dean is meant to be 26 and Sam is meant to be 22. And even though they've had this other life, like, they're
still their age.
They're going to say stupid things. They're going to be assholes. They're going to, like, they're going to need evolving views of,
they're
going to
objectify women.
Like,
and it's a thing that, like,
so it doesn't glorify it, but I think it does. They are saying, like, listen, these guys are not perfect. They're kind of, you know,
they're flawed guys who grew up with just a male role model who wasn't really around.
Yeah.
And like,
and that does evolve over time, but certainly in these early episodes, you're getting a lot of like, awooga kind of vibes off Dean.
Yeah, and Sam is very much like the educated one who doesn't see women in that way.
Well, who also just watched his girlfriend die.
So you're saying that, like, he's not going to be, like, totally up for,
I don't think he's ready yet.
He's not sporting a raging hard-on in that scene.
Well, yeah, I mean, he definitely isn't, because he doesn't even want to go look for cases. He's like, we're 3 episodes in, and he's like, the trail for dad is getting cold, blah, 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 blah. And that's where Dean says something to the effect of, like,
not like that girl.
We're gonna find him, but we're gonna kill everything bad between here and there. So they go to Lake Manitowoc. They go to basically talk to the family. So they're talking to the brother.
They present themselves as Agent Ford and Hamill. So mark that in your calendar or your notebook. We get another sort of another episode with fake names. Now they're sort of like falling into a thing. They haven't figured out the classic rock thing necessarily, but now they're sort of joking on the whole Star Wars thing, which the show is clearly based off of.
Yeah. This is where we get a little bit of information that's kind of exposition, but it's also to rule out, like, normal causes of death, right?
Normal.
Well, you know, the brother says she was a varsity swimmer. Like, she did not drown.
No.
Like, that's...
Yeah, well, it doesn't make any sense.
She did, but not on her own.
Yes, exactly.
And they can't talk to the dad. The dad's sort of just off staring by himself. He's obviously grief-stricken and things like that. But basically, he's saying, like, there's no way that, like, my sister just like stopped swimming or whatever. Like that's something happened to her out there.
I mean, she did just have breakfast, so I mean,
could you imagine if that's what the moral of the episode was? Was you're supposed to wait 20 minutes?
It's like Arrested Development with the like the dad's lesson.
Yeah, that's why you always leave a note. God, that would be amazing.
So after they leave the house of the dead girl, they go to the police station, and like every episode, they end up at the police station at some point to start asking questions. They present themselves as they park rangers in this one, or what are
they're national? No, not park rangers, but like environment something, or like. So they're talking to the sheriff. He's like, listen, we dragged the lake. We couldn't find anything. We used sonar. We couldn't find anything. And they're like, this is like three times in the last year. He's like, I know, you know, this is my town. There are people close to me.
But it doesn't really matter because the town's going to be washed away soon because the dam is about to get.
It's actually I think it's the opposite. It's that the dam is old and the government won't
fix it.
Won't fix it. So they've opened the like sluice. Yeah. So it's actually draining the lake.
Yeah,
he says because the sheriff says something like in a few months, like it won't matter anymore. There won't be any more of these deaths in the lake. And it's basically because in about 6 months there won't be a lake there because the feds are basically letting this dam fall apart.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course Dean meets another pretty girl, the sheriff's daughter. Pretty girl, she's a woman, she's got a kid,
she has agency, makes decisions on her own.
Yeah, sorry, I'm being a real dean of myself right now.
Come on, you're not dean.
No, I'm not.
But it's great now that this is sort of Dean immediately starts hitting on this girl, but what's great is that she's not taking his like shit. Like he's very much like, well, why don't you show me where this motel is, and she's like two blocks away and he's like, I don't know directions. Yeah
I mean, I think the best like day player sort of female kind of romantic interests that they have on this show are the ones that see right through his crap.
Exactly.
And then when they actually get to know him can kind of fall for that part, but like they shut down the sort of whatever he puts on, right?
Yeah,
like
exactly. She's a good one. I feel like she's been in something because she seems slightly familiar.
She does seem very familiar.
There's a couple really good sort of day players in this one. She's one. I think the father of the girl that dies in the beginning is pretty decent.
Yeah.
And the sheriff's pretty good too. Actually, I really like sort of the ones that they've brought on this one. But there's a great line when she finally brings him to the hotel, and she goes, "It must be hard," because he goes like, "Oh, thanks for this is a line right here." Yeah.
Must be hard with that sense of direction.
Yeah, you never being able to find your way to a decent pickup line.
Well, especially because they've said that they're like forestry people or whatever the hell they like show up as.
It's pretty good. Oh yeah, and this is where he's like, I really care about this. Like these kids are gonna die, and he's like, when do you care about kids suddenly? Like what? Like, and he's like, I like kids, and he's like, name three kids that you know, and he's like, whatever. Like,
well, and that's because the sheriff's daughter has her own kid, and he doesn't. So far, he doesn't talk.
Exactly.
He just kind of colors.
But then we get to that in a little bit.
They do start thinking that maybe it's a lake monster.
Yeah.
I think they almost immediately rule it out because of the sonar sweep dragging the lake. Like a lake, if it was something like a Loch Ness monster or something like that, or like a Ogopogo or whatever, they would have found it.
I love that band. We get to go to the hotel, to the motel, classic motel scene where they're doing research.
And they find out that the kid who doesn't talk, his dad is one of these lake victims.
Seth Green.
And the kid survived, and now he doesn't talk. So that's why the sheriff said, yeah, it's people close to us. That kid's not a young Seth Green.
I know, but he looks exactly like young Seth Green. Like when Seth Green was like a really, like when he was like a child actor.
Really?
He looks so much like Seth Green.
Interesting.
It's very funny. But yeah, they go to the park see the daughter of the sheriff again. And we meet her son, who's a weirdo.
His name is Luke.
Lucas.
He spends all of his time drawing, basically. He doesn't play with other kids. He doesn't talk. He's got his little army men, and he colors and draws, and that's it. And Dean tries to go over to you know, talk to him, see if maybe he could get any information about what happened to the dad.
Yeah, he interrogates this kid.
Yeah, he throws a face cloth over the kid's face, and he's going to get answers no matter what the cause.
Yeah, but he tries to sort of relate to him on sort of the dead parent kind of thing.
Yeah, which is, I guess, the way in, but I mean... Dean has a big heart, obviously, but he does not have experience with kids. So you sort of see him stumbling to make a connection. And so he's just talking to the kid. And yeah, like you said, he's sort of talking about that, you know, he lost a parent and stuff like that.
Interesting, actually. The kid's name was Lucas, again, because of another Star Wars reference. It's a George Lucas nod.
I see.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, he... Yeah, right here he goes, dude, when I was your age, like, I saw something, and he was talking about, so this is, oh, like, can I zoom in?
I mean, this is, I think, maybe one of our first, like, Dean feelings scenes in the whole show.
Yeah.
Because we obviously know how Sam feels about
12
things,
minutes, yeah.
But now we're saying, like, yeah, we know Dean is tough as nails, quote unquote, but, like, he also, like, basically saw his mom die.
And it's a thing that he carries with him
yeah.
for the entire series, really.
Because he was actually old enough to remember her. Like, Sam was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
But
Dean, still a baby.
But Dean was four. So he remembers a life with his mom. And then he could also see what it would have done to his dad, what it did to their family, you know. So, yeah, it's actually kind of a nice... scene, Dean and the kid. They actually do form a bit of a bond, even though the kid, like, does not acknowledge him. The kid's drawings, though, already super creepy. Just a swirly black hole is one of them.
Yet still better than Jensen's.
Creepy red bicycle. Yeah, absolutely better than what Jensen drew, which was stick figures.
Which I'm assuming is actually, like, his drawings.
Yeah, I think so, too. They were like, Jensen, we need you to draw something for the scene. And he was like, all right.
He's like, you might be concerned after watching it. But it's, yeah, it's good. It's sort of, you get this reflective moment with this child, and now Dean's sort of hooked in because he actually does give a shit about this kid and sort of can relate to his own experience with this child. So now you can see sort of his level of investment. It was beyond just like the hot girl now, and is actually like, I'm concerned about this family, because though they like to show Dean as this like sort of one-sided figure, he actually has many layers.
Of course.
And it's the same thing with the show. And I think it's actually like a good sort of way to talk about the show in general, which is sort of on the surface, it seems like it's one thing, but once you actually watch, it's a lot of other things, but it presents itself as sort of this one-sided, like hot guys, hot show thing. Which is good.
Oh, right. And then Lucas comes up and he makes a drawing for Dean and hands it to him. And it's this.
It's like, this is how you fucking draw, you idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. And he slaps Dean in the face. and the mom is like, Lucas doesn't ever acknowledge someone. Like, I can't believe that you made a connection with my son, basically. That's wild.
Now we go to the dead girl's house, the dad's like basically comatose at this point because he's so depressed, and the brother's trying to get him to eat, and he's just like, come on, dad, like, you got to do something. And so the brother heads to the kitchen to try to make a meal for him, which then we encounter our second ghost encounter, which is really cool because, like, he's washing dishes, I think.
This is,
or like, and he's washing a fish. That's
this
what it
is
was.
so creepy. So the son is like gonna make some dinner, and then the water coming out of like the sink, because he's gonna wash this fish,
turns into lake water,
and the sink fills up even though he hadn't plugged the drain or anything like that, and it's all this sort of opaque, dark, kind of gray black water, and the sink completely fills up, and you get that thing where you know something's gonna go wrong because he has to reach in to like find what's clogged the drain, and you're like, don't do it, you can't see, like, use a stick, use anything else.
It is funny because he goes to like pull the plug out, but clearly as the thing was filling out, you saw that the plug wasn't in there.
The plug's not in.
Yeah,
the plug is literally sitting now, it's on the cutting board,
even though it was in the water when it was filling up.
Yeah,
and now he's pulling it out.
That's a little continuity issue with the show. They clearly shot him pulling it out of the water before they shot the medium shots for this scene, which is very funny. Little continuity error there.
It's very funny.
But he's got his arm in there. He can't figure out what it is. And then he gets pulled like into the sink.
It's a really cool shot because you get to see like his face drowning from inside the water, which I love that shot. It's a great direction.
And it's, I mean, it's even more terrifying because you think you know what the setup is. Be like, there's something in the lake. But now, like,
this the is, lake's in the house.
This is, yeah. So it's like, is the lake killing haunted? People?
Yeah.
Like, not even just is it haunted, but like, is the lake actually killing people? Because it's come up through the sink. And of course, once the brother is drowned, then the sink empties and that's it. That is, I think, one of the creepier deaths in the first season. Is
yeah,
because
it's brutal. It's
I was
really
expecting it to be like, oh, I gotta go out, like I yeah. left something in the boat, and then he would
yeah.
fall out into the lake. But it like got him at home in his sink, you know.
Well, because yeah, he was saying because Sam, we go back to the hotel, and Sam goes to Dean and goes, yeah, the brother now died, and it's just like drowned in the sink, which is crazy because now it's like, well, what are we even hunting at this point?
Yeah, he brings up a water wraith or a demon, something that like controls water,
but they find out that the water that comes into the houses are also from the same water source, which you're understanding now why this town's going to disappear when because the water's all coming from one place, which is the lake.
And they've come to the conclusion too that like maybe the reason that like because they talk about that there had been deaths in that lake over many years, but now it's accelerated, and they say maybe it's because the lake's about to basically drain in the next couple of months. So whatever this thing is, it's got to get all its kills in now.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, we've got to move because more people are going to die. And they finally go to talk to this dad because now he's lost both of his kids.
Jeez. What a brutal, like, but he's so good at showing, like, the loss in his face. Like, yeah, great day player.
Good day player. Same with the sheriff, actually, in this episode. Yeah. The sheriff is really, really strong. Actor in this.
He does a great thing where they're trying to interrogate him a bit, and the dad's just like, I don't give a shit who you are.
Yeah.
Like, my children are gone. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, it's worse than dying. Which yeah. is, yeah, I mean, you can really sort of see the weight that it has on him. It shows so much in his eyes. I really liked this actor's sort of the way he's playing this sort of depression. It works really, really well. It's less about that sort of like big emotional reaction and more about sort of the subdued sort of like internalizing.
Well, because that's the thing, right? You know, like not everyone reacts to grief with like wailing and cursing the stars and stuff like that, right? This is just something he's got to live with, and he knows it. But Dean suspects that he's not telling them something.
Mm-hmm.
And Dean pulls out the picture that Lucas gave him, and it's this guy's house. It's like, yeah. like Lucas drew a picture of the house where these people died. He's like, something is up here.
Something that is interesting that it just occurred to me, and I don't know if this was intentional, but the dad's name is Will Carlton, which makes me wonder if it's a Fresh Prince reference.
Why would it be? Oh, just
Will Carlton.
I mean, this is the thing when you're doing a TV show, is like you just got to come up with names for people. So, like, it could, like, who knows what the inspiration is.
I really hope it was intentional because you don't just give a name for no reason. Like, typically, there's always something behind a name.
They do call him Bill deliberately. Yeah, yeah. But yes, yeah, you're right.
I do wonder about that. So now.
Time for Dean to talk to Lucas again because that was pretty creepy, kid.
Yeah. what the hell? I like that. Every time Dean tries to talk to him, he tries to like relate to him in some way.
We're getting multiple drawings of this right red bicycle.
Yeah. I think he talks to him about the army figures in this scene.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Like he's just like, yeah, I like to play with it. It's such like a half-ass attempt at being a
oh yeah, and Lucas is like clearly drawing people drowning.
Yeah.
Like it's
kid's got so much more going on.
This is a very classic horror trope too, though. I mean, we talk about disturbed this a child lot for the first season is really riffing on this as a horror show, basically. And like a kid that knows too much is like such a classic horror thing, whether or not it's because they're possessed or because they're like psychic or whatever. But like a kid that knows too much is one of the creepiest things you can put in a horror anything.
I mean, children in general are creepy just because it's like whenever they say anything that's a little bit deep, like more like surface level,
right.
You're like, what? Like, I'm assuming even you're with your, I mean, your child does it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
Me am hurt.
I forgot about that one. Yeah. Yeah. We haven't fully gone into the creepy territory. Like, we haven't woken up in the night with her, like, standing at the foot of the bed or anything like that.
But it's only a matter of time.
It kind of is. Yeah.
It's like as soon as they do something that's like slightly out of like character, it immediately becomes terrifying.
Yeah.
I can't wait to be a Vong.
Oh my god! Yeah.
But yeah. So, as Dean's having this conversation with this kid, he's trying to obviously he's talking about sort of like, oh, like you know, your dad wants you to be brave and your family wants you to be trying to like break through to this kid.
And eye contact, first time in the whole episode, Lucas puts down the crayon and looks at Dean
when he's talking about the dad. So he. And he shows and he gives Dean a drawing, which is now this red bike and this yellow house next to a church.
Yeah, it's a picture of a different house and there's a church and that same red bike is out front.
So after that, we then get into the Impala and we're trying to figure out sort of like, what do we need to do next? And Sam's kind of just like checked out of this whole thing, which is really interesting. But Dean's fully committed to this family, which is interesting. So now they're trying to find this yellow house next to a white church. But I love that Dean's still giving him shit for being a college boy throughout this. Like, it's a thing that really, like, it's only the first season that really comes up, I find.
Yeah.
But after that, he just starts calling him a nerd. But this first season's all about him, like, having gone to college, and it's a thing that he can, like, hold over his head.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is pretty funny. But I think, so, now after leaving this house, I think we head to...
They want to try and find, like, what the drawing is of. And Sam is saying, like, that's not going to be all that easy because, like, these churches are literally fucking everywhere. But they're talking about, you know, the kid's clearly having some form of premonition or whatever. He's tied somehow to whatever is happening there.
But they do find the house. And they go, it's interesting because they do a really weird way of, like, talking to this lady where they're like, hey, is there, like, a little boy who lives here in, like, a blue shirt? And she's like, not for
35 years.
Just so creepy. I
haven't seen that boy in 35 years.
Oh, that's a little boy is a name I haven't heard in quite a long
time. So they basically described the boy that Lucas drew with the red bike, and he's got there's army men set up in this like old woman's house.
Exactly the same way that the child like that he had Lucas had set
and
them
she
up.
She basically says it was her son Peter and that he never came home and he just disappeared and she also reiterates the it's worse than dying thing that the other dad had said regarding
he was supposed to,
losing
yeah.
your children.
He was supposed to ride his bike, his red bike, straight home, and he never showed up, which is, and you see some old photos of him, and there's like another kid in the photo with him, and you're trying to understand sort of like who is this kid friends with. They flip into the back of the photo and they realize that, oh, this is someone that we know, Peter Sweeney and Billy Carlton.
Billy Carlton, we just came from that guy's house.
Will Carlton. In West.
It's funny, you went for the actual theme. I was going to start singing It's Not Unusual.
Oh, I mean, yeah, sure, that works as well. And the dad is still woefully standing at the edge of, or sitting at the edge of the dock.
Yeah, he's talking to himself, though.
Yes.
He's saying, I didn't understand, I didn't believe, now I think I do. He says, I think I finally know what you want. Which is never, like, a great thing to see a character say to themselves. You're like, all right.
What are you going to give up? But obviously what that means is he's going to give himself to the lake.
The guys are putting this together a little bit. They say, what if like Bill killed Peter? Mm-hmm. Peter's spirit would be furious and wants revenge. But by the time they show up, I think Bill has already given himself up to the lake.
Well, he's into his boat. He's heading out to the water.
He's heading out on the lake. The guys can't stop him. And yeah,
the thing just like takes the entire boat and the dude.
Yeah, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So theoretically, this should be over now.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of what the guys sort of think at this point. They're like, yeah, well, you know, guy's dead, time to hit, like, go packing.
Yeah.
But this is also the same point, I think, where the police officer sort of realizes what's going on as well and sort of is like, get the fuck out of my town.
Yeah, he basically, like, tells them to, like, get the hell out.
Because he's like, you guys don't know, like...
He called, like, to the feds and he's like, listen, no one's ever heard of you.
Which is a great thing that I think they do a bunch throughout this show is it's sort of the cops, like, often figure out sort of partway through that, like, oh, you guys... It's sort of they're like, you guys are not good at pretending to be these people.
Yes.
And
yeah.
So it's a thing that they slowly are trying to learn, that it's like, oh, like they keep figuring us out halfway through these things. So we need to like, and it's a thing that the show will address sort of later on, which is another one of the great things the show does, which is like, oh, like like lessons are had. It's not like seven seasons down, they're still making the same mistakes. It's the show will sort of figure out as they go through.
The sheriff basically is running them out of town, though.
Yeah. And now the kid's drawing these circles still. Like, the kid's still disturbed.
Yeah, which I think this is your first clue that it's not over, because it has, like, the kid's still drawing these drawings. He's still drawing the black circles. Like, something else is still happening.
But as they're sort of driving away, Dean's like, no, fuck this. Like, I need to turn around. And Sam's just like, we're done. And he's like, well, what if we're not? And we don't know it. Like,
yeah.
Like,
well,
there was no ambulances. Clearly it's not the end of this.
Because Dean is suspicious about the being run out of town. Just the way that he was suspicious about Bill before not telling them something. So, and it's also one of those things where I think, like, maybe part of the job of the hunter, you stick around a little bit, just make sure it's done, then you move on, right?
But these guys are still just sort of figuring out how to do this on their own without their dad's sort of support, right? So they're just
cutting back and forth to seeing the mom, the sheriff's daughter. She's making herself a bath, which if the sink made you nervous because you knew that something was going to happen.
And someone getting into water.
And it's
home.
One of those like freestanding like bathtubs with like the cloth kind of thing, which is like, that's always where a murder happens.
Also,
it's
never, why are you filling the water up that far?
It's never in one of those like plexiglass full shower tub units. It's always in a freestanding tub.
Well, of course, yeah.
Don't have a freestanding tub.
Yeah, it doesn't have the automatic drain thing that like when the water gets too high.
If you take one thing away from this show.
No freestanding cloth tub. but it's funny because the water, she fills it up so high, which it then goes away, but I'm like, the black water starts filling up this tub, just so creepy, and you start hearing "come play with me" from a boy,
and then something is trying to pull her into the tub, and she's struggling. It's not just like, oh, and then you can shake it loose and get out, right? It's overpowering her. It's pulling her into the tub. Dean is trying to knock on the door, ring the doorbell. No one's answering. And then Lucas comes to the door and he's super scared. So he follows Lucas. They go upstairs. There's water on the floor. Sam is like, all of his muscle, like, all
and,
of his
and
muscle.
Sam's got so much.
Oh, God. It's not even the full amount.
I know. There's so much more coming.
But they do manage to pull the mom out and save her from the tub.
Which impressively also, while naked and don't show anything, which is, I mean, good filmmaking.
Yeah, masterful blocking.
Yeah.
And also, while Sam is pulling her, now, this is part of the actors being respectful while they're blocking. But I also like to think of it as like Sam being very respectful. To
Jared,
like, I'm gonna save you, but I'm not gonna, you know, I'm gonna make every effort not to like unintentionally grope you as I do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's clearly because they're actors and they're doing that, but I also like to think that Sam.
That's what
is
Sam
like
is.
That,
yeah. Yeah, Sam's just like, you know, he's got that emotional side and he's respectful to women. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So now we're after sort of the almost drowning and, and clearly everybody's been
Amy Acker. That's why.
Oh yes. That's what is she from?
You keep going with the show. I'm gonna work on Amy Acker.
And so as he's sort of talking to Amy Acker, after the potential drowning, she's realizing that she's sort of recounting what had happened to her and keeps saying that the boy keeps saying like, come play with me. And there's this, like, it's a boy that like a small child that clearly like something happened to, and Dean's back in the house looking through like old family photos and stuff. And realizes like, that not only was the other guy friends with this kid, but they were all the sheriff was also in this scout troop and was friends with the boy who drowned as well.
Yeah.
So clearly there's connection to their family, and the story's a little bit deeper. Maybe she's involved because her father, the sheriff, was also involved in
this. Exactly.
It's this big sort of huge connection. So who is she from again?
Amy Acker. She was on Angel. She was on Alias. She was on Person of Interest, a big time TV actor. She's been on a ton of series.
But yeah, that's why she looks familiar, is because we've seen her a ton of times on other things.
So the boys,
Cabin in the Woods.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm like, she looks super familiar. But
Suits.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So now Lucas is sort of being weird as he always is, and looking outside, and then he takes the boys and his mom to this random spot outside the house, where the guys decide to start digging, because the kid's just being weird at this one random spot.
Yeah, they're pretty sure this must be like where Peter is, but what they dig up is the bike.
Yes,
the red bicycle. This is Peter's bike,
and that's when the sheriff shows up and is pointing a gun at them. And is shaking, and clearly, like, they figured it out.
Well, yeah, and he said, like, you know, how did you know that happened? And then they said, did you kill, you know, like, yeah, Bill and that?
Did you drowned the kid, didn't you? And you buried the bike outside. Amy Acker, I'm just going to keep calling her Amy Acker.
Yeah, that's fair.
She sees them and decides that she's going to help out. So she gets the kid to stay in the house, and she goes to try to stop her father from killing these two guys.
Right.
Yeah, it's then they're basically going, all right, this is the point where they go, all right, this is a fucking ghost. You guys have seen enough supernatural shit that I can finally tell you what's actually going on here, which is sort of the classic supernatural trope.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain point, they get to this where they go, okay, now I can sort of, the veil can be lifted and you guys can hear about creepy shit. So now they need to know sort of, like, were you dumb enough to like burn the body, or is there actually, did you bury this kid somewhere?
Yeah. And they say, like, we need to find these remains, blah 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 blah. Meanwhile, that the boy voice to come play with me, Lucas hears it.
Yeah,
goes running off,
because it's like, if I can't get Amy Acker, I'm gonna go get young Seth Green.
Yeah, because basically the spirit of Peter is going after their kids. There is going to take out their families and then take them out, right? Going to make them suffer as much as possible for what they did to him, re-killing him as children. So they were saying they were bullying him. They held him under the water too long and he drowned. And then it's
also a classic horror trope thing too, where like the kid that gets bullied ends up coming back for revenge.
But I think the further thing though as well is that they didn't they threw the body in the lake.
Yeah.
Which is why this ghost is tied to the lake and tied to the water. So yeah, Lucas goes to like fish a little army man out of the lake. They try to run down there to get him. And he gets pulled into the water.
But hand comes out. Oh, so creepy.
The good old creepy hand comes out of the water.
But that's when
we see the face. Ugh.
So creepy. The drowned kid comes like poking out of the water. It's really
so now
great.
The sheriff kind of believes the ghost story, basically. Sam and Dean
jump into the water, which is, God, they're so brave. So hot and so brave.
How could you be so hot and brave?
Now they're going to get all wet.
Oh.
They're not the only ones.
Yeah, give me a second here.
So they're now searching for the kid, but they know what needs to happen. The sheriff realizes he needs to get into the water.
Yeah, basically Sam and Dean can't find the kid. The water's too dark. They can't see him. The sheriff walks into the water. He says, I know what you want. Let the boy go. Take me. Blah, blah, blah. That's basically what the ghost does.
Yeah, well, because it's unfinished business, and they can't get the body because they threw the body into the water.
Exactly.
It needs to finish its business, which is getting revenge on these two guys.
Exactly. So, they save the boy, they save Lucas, and the sheriff goes down big time.
Huge.
Yeah.
And we get our end, of course, the end of the episode. There's no ambulances, so now we just get to have the like somber conversation with the victim.
Walk out to the car.
Yeah. Who gets, now it's always a toss up of who gets to like talk to the girl at the end.
Well, I mean, it's obviously Dean. Dean's the one that made the connection with Lucas.
But Dean gets to talk to Lucas, and Sam gets to talk to the girl of this one.
Oh yeah. Way to go, Sam.
Yeah, yeah. Sam gets one thrown to him every once in a while.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
But he's a respectful man, so he doesn't do anything.
Well, I mean, he didn't have any chemistry with her.
Anyway. Yeah, he had no chance. I mean, Sam.
Come on, he's 22.
Also, yeah, this is like a full-grown woman who's probably like in her 30s.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you fucking twerp. Just because you're 7 foot tall doesn't mean you have a chance with me.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain... I mean, she's obviously relieved, but there's a certain amount of, I'd say, like, melancholy for her because she found out that her dad was a murderer. And then she watched her dad die.
Yes.
By a lake ghost.
So at the end here, we get sort of Dean's one-on-one with Lucas, who's now talking again.
Yes, he is.
And Dean gets... He's like, well, remember what I told you? And he's like... Zeppelin rules.
Yeah.
which is awesome.
So cute.
Also, like, a couple years after this, I think, is when Jensen has his first kid and names him Zeppelin.
Jensen's kid is named Zeppelin?
Oh, that's why I made that joke earlier before we went on mic, is his kids' name are Arrow and with Arrow, so Hawkeye, and Zeppelin.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. But I believe his first kid was Zeppelin.
Wow.
Fucking rules. It's why he's the best.
Yeah, that's...
Not into it?
No, that's a little... That's weird celebrity behavior I wouldn't expect from him. I would expect him to be like, I'm not going to name my kid something stupid. Like, give them, like, my kid's name is Ryan or, like, whatever. Like, like... I'm a little surprised at that.
If you get the chance, watch the Jensen Ackles like house tour.
Yeah.
He's not Dean.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
But he does love classic rock, which is a good thing.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, and then the boys drive off. Time to littlest hobo move on to the next town. It's a reference that only Canadians from the 70s will understand.
But yes, we watched episode number 3, Dead in the Water.
That's right. So what would what's your final thoughts and rate this out of 5
lake ghosts?
Lake ghosts. I was gonna say dead boys, but yeah. let's go with lake ghosts. Out of five lake ghosts. That's what I was gonna say.
These first few episodes of season one, I've seen so many times. And what's great about these especially is that they age super well. I mean, these are 15 years old and still, like, to this day, are super easily rewatchable. I think they look great. But it's one of the great things that David Nutter did was at the beginning, he really set the show up for, like, a really consistent visual styling that has aged really well.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they were trying to do something classic, which sort of in itself becomes sort of timeless. And it's an easily digestible, easily understandable concept with the sort of lake monster. It's a thing that we've all been afraid of at some point, which is like the lake water and like what's touching your feet.
Even when I know what's touching my feet, I have a problem with that in lakes up here where it's like, I know it's just like little like grayling or something like swimming by. And I'm like,
It's one of the biggest, it's one of the best and worst things about this show is that we live in like the places that all of these episodes are always sort of taking place
Sort of remote in like a boreal forest. Yeah. Like it's a sort of an environmental conservation area. It's got feels
remote northern Canada, which
feels kind of ancient in its own way. Yeah,
they're all sort of filmed in places that look like where we live, so it makes things just a little bit extra level of creepy.
Yeah, it's true.
And then for me, I mean, the extra level of like water makes it really creepy for me. And you're not dealing with sort of like weird esoteric creatures, it's like a ghost in the water, which is sort of easily understandable. So, and we're getting sort of like meat and potatoes Sam and Dean in this too, which is like Sam's the emotional sort of one and Dean's the like a Han Solo like smart cracking guy, but you get a little bit of that emotional connection to him. So for me, it's such an easy like bar for them to hit, and it's an easy episode to. I always think about like if I was just going to send this to someone, could they get behind this and understand what the show is? One, because they do the like what happens at the beginning of the show at each of these episodes, it's a really easy sort of one to dive into.
see what you did there.
Yeah. See. So for me, this is an easy like I would say 4.5 water ghosts.
Wow.
Yeah. These first few episodes, they. I mean, it's the reason why it's so easy to get into this show because it's like episode one's kind of the rocky thing, but I mean, it's a pilot. It's so hard to get past.
I think it does a pretty good job for what it was doing.
For what it's doing, I think so. But it's like if you're the reason why it's so easy to dive into the show.
All right. Yeah, it was good the first time. Yeah.
Is because these first few episodes are such a solid foundation that the show is built off of that it makes it so simple to sort of go from to keep watching and binge the show. So yeah, for me it's an easy win. It's not like top-notch writing, but it's got all of the like solid pieces that sort of if you sort of put them in front of you and just like okay, this is like how you write a script. It's got sort of a great interesting middle. You got sort of the part where you think it's over and then they bring it back. Like it's solid script writing, and for me that makes it sort of, it's on the top tier, but it's not like the pinnacle of what they do.
Yeah, I mean I think I generally agree with all of that. I mean, it's this one more than the Wendigo episode is really going for like kind of classic identifiable like horror iconography. I mean, even you said they basically shot for shot to Jaws at the beginning, right? Yeah. They're riffing on other things, or they're riffing on Japanese horror or stuff like that. Yeah. So it does feel a little bit like it was though a really great episode, it didn't feel quite as like the Wendigo one. I was just like so impressed that was the monster they picked. I was like, holy cow, that's what a great like pick. And the, you know, like the mine set was really cool.
Yeah.
I really liked the setup of that episode. This episode is a little bit more like, what are our identifiable horror basics, and going back to some of those things a little bit.
Totally.
But totally well executed. I think I would give this 4 Lake Ghosts. I think this is a 4 out of 5 Lake Ghosts.
It's interesting that for you it comes under Wendigo.
I still don't understand the Wendigo one. Just it gets me.
That's interesting because I like that episode.
Even on rewatching, because like I really liked this episode.
Yeah, going back to it. Yeah,
and going back to it, I do. I think it's a very, very solid episode. But something about that Wendigo one was just. Yeah, just put it over the edge, I think.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for this week. We would love to hear what you think about this episode. Where does it rank on you? This is episode 3. So I'd love to know sort of like, how do these rank towards you? Like, is Wendigo your number one? Yeah. How do these top 3 episodes sort of rank for you? Also, if you have any sort of notes or things that we missed on this or a future episode, make sure to reach us through our email.
GhostFacersPodcast@gmail.com, and you can also catch us on Twitter at GhostFacersPod.
Oh, that's right. I saw that you set that up. That's nice. So now we're on Twitter too. So have conversations with us on social media. We'd love to hear what you think.
Yeah.
And unlike a lot of those private Facebook groups, we don't mind shipping. Still weird about Wincest though.
I mean that's objectively weird. Yeah.
I mean, I get it, but it's weird. But I mean, I get it.
Oh, I get it.
I get. I mean, I could have could not get it more. Yeah,
Dean looked into Sam's eyes.
All right, that's it. Say goodbye, bitch. Figure for two guys talking about Supernatural, it should be in the dark.
Yeah, just let me get these pants off.
This was a Brain Freeze podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.